Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading is from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 28. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York, and he said to him, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other, and so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her. Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. They are not getting divorced, she shouted. I will take care of this. She called Phoenix immediately and said to her father, you're not getting divorced. Don't you do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me? The man smiled, hung up the phone, and he turned to his wife. Okay, honey, the kids are coming home for Thanksgiving and paying for their own flights. That is something that my dad, I feel, would have tried to pull on us. God bless him. Our text in this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 gives us some insight and information about the attitude and action that is Thanksgiving. And it talks about how do we cultivate gratitude, because I bet we didn't know this, but Thanksgiving is our superpower. It's our superpower that we as Christians, as followers of Christ, tend to underutilize. It enables us to see past our own experiences and embrace how God is truly moving. It is the power, the superpower, to not only draw strength from gratitude, but makes us able to empower the others in our lives, empower other people that we know. This is a superpower, and it's our superpower. In living out Thanksgiving, we draw strength from gratitude and empower others to cultivate gratitude. So this year, this holiday, let's tap into this superpower of Thanksgiving. And how do we tap into this immense wealth of power? Like they say, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. First, we practice daily, number one, being joyful. And number two, we practice giving thanks. Be joyful. In verse 16 in our scripture, it says, be joyful always. The word or variations of the word joy appears 88 times in the Old Testament and 57 times in the New Testament. That's a lot of times. Certainly, there's a lot of joy in the Bible. This tells us how vital joy is to this life, our Christian life of faith. Christian joy is more than happiness. It's more than an emotion. Happiness is conditional. See, I know this because my level of happiness is proportionate to the amount of gummy bears that I have in my possession. See, but joy is not like that. Somebody once said that joy is happiness with a much longer shelf life. But it's more accurately defined as an inner state of being, of well-being, regardless of outward circumstances. It's an inner state of peace and sense of well-being, regardless of what's happening outside of ourselves. Joy are the glasses that tint the world in a positive way if the view is not so great. Joy is a state of being that we're supposed to find ourselves. But what hinders us? Well, there's a story of two old friends who bumped into each other on the street, and one day one of them looked kind of forlorn, looked sad. and almost kind of on the verge of tears. And his friend said, what has the world done to you, my friend? What's going on? And the person said, let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. That's a lot of money. But 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear. And the friend said, sounds like you've been blessed. And he said, you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed and I inherited almost $250,000. Now he was really confused. The friend said, why do you look so sad? The friend said, well, this week I've gotten nothing. This is can sometimes be the way that we are. Another key ingredient to a joyful life is having a thankful heart. And a thankful heart is the direct result of remembering and reflecting on who God is and what God is doing in our life. We're blessed in big ways, but built into that, we begin to expect more and more. What? Nothing this week, like the person said? We're not as joyful as we should be, or our kryptonite is that we don't recognize the great things that we've already been given. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Everything that we've received, everything in our life is from God. Our jobs, income, cars, houses, land, food, clothing, all the things, name it. We have no right to boast as if we provided anything of these things for ourselves. Everything good in your life, in our life, comes from God. That's James 1:17. We'll grow closer to God when we understand this truth and we build our lives around it. Every good gift is from above. There is no boasting or indifference on our part. There's no space for it. There's no room for it. Instead of being humbled, thankful, and appreciative, we tend to go in the other direction. We're quicker to complain if our blessings are not the way that we want them or the amount that we think we're due, that the level of expectation that we have or for what we have and have been given makes it a hard situation to maintain. There's a story of a young man who was feeling really proud of himself. He was a new college graduate, had taken the CPA exam and passed with flying colors. He was a full-fledged certified public accountant. His father had been an immigrant into the U.S., and now he owned his own little business. And filled with self-importance, the son came to his dad's business and was going to help him keep track of his books. He said, Dad, you don't even know how much profit you made. Over here, this drawer has your accounts, you know, receivable, and then your receipts are over here, and you have all your money is in the cash register. You don't have any idea of how much money that you've made. And the father said, Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. Now, your brother is a doctor, your sister is an art teacher, and you are a CPA. Your mother and I own our home, we have a car, we own this little business. Now add that up, subtract the pants, and everything else is profit. How do we feel joys? How do we feel joy? We add it up, brothers and sisters. That's exactly what we need to do this time of year. Add it up. We pause, look around our life, and take time to add up all the great things. We came into the world with nothing but the eternal soul that God gave us and everything else that is around us, all the things that bring joy to us, bring happiness to us. It's all profit. We have all profited quite well. So let us practice this joy of God. A joyful person is usually a thankful person, and a thankful person is a joyful person. These two go hand in hand, and our superpower is thanksgiving. And that means that we need to practice being joyful, but we also need to practice something else to grow in this strength and this power of thanksgiving. Give thanks. In verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. A thankful person is quick to give God thanks in all circumstances. There's a great story about a lady who pulled up to a drive-through window at the bank, and the teller had pulled the shade down because the sun was coming in, and so she had pulled up, but she couldn't see anybody behind there, and so she did her banking and pulled the thing, you know, put the money in and pulled it out, and as she was taking her money, she looked at the window and said, I suppose you're totally automated, but I feel that I ought to say thank you anyway. Good job, lady. More of us need to be more like that. People look at me sometimes a little crazy when I go to the grocery store and I do the self-checkout. I'll thank the computer. I'll thank the little self-computer checkout because I was taught to say thank you, and that's what I do. We really need to be thankful to God and to all the people who bless us in our life. We should be thankful to God for those who serve us, even though we may not know them or see them. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. And Paul's not saying give thanks for all circumstances, but he's saying give thanks in all circumstances. All of our circumstances in life are not good, but there will always be something in those circumstances for us to give great thanks. Robinson Crusoe was the story was shipwrecked on a lonely island, and he thought of both the good and the bad as he was on the island, if you read that novel. He's cast onto a desolate island, but he was still alive, not drowned as all of the other people on the ship were. He was divided from other humans, but he was not starving. He had clothes, but it was a hot climate, and he didn't need as many. He was without the means of defense, but there were no wild animals. He had nothing to speak of, but God had sent the ship so near the shore that he could get all the things that he needed. So he concluded that there was not any condition in the world so miserable, but that there was something positive for which to be thankful. And that's the attitude that we need to have. This is part of our superpower of thanksgiving. Crusoe could give thanks in all circumstances. He found some things for which to give thanks, even in a bad situation. So regularly practicing giving thanks, we make a habit of expressing gratitude. Thankfulness becomes our default rather than jumping to being critical or looking around and pointing at the bad or the hard, because we can find those things very easily. But finding the good, finding the positive, is something that takes a little bit more effort. We can all complain occasionally, but if we practice responding by finding things to be thankful for, it lessens it, and we start to rewire our brains to recognizing the good that is all around us, and we can give thanks. One way to do this is to praise God when all is well. See, that's the thing that we sometimes forget. When things are going really, really well, we tend to not say thanks. We tend to not give praise to God in those moments. We are so feeling great and all those other things that those tend to be the moments where we don't give thanks. But if we practice doing that, even in the good situations in our life, then as I said, it helps us rewire our brains so that when things are not so great, we find the things to be positive about. We find the things that are important, the things that we need to focus on. And it helps us to be able to give thanks in all circumstances, because I said we're rewired to err on the side of contentment and gratitude. Max Lucado tells about living as an American in Brazil. And he's walking down the street. He was teaching a class at a university, and he felt a tug on his pants, and he saw a little boy, maybe 5 or 6, dark, beady eyes, dirty. The little boy looked up at a big American and said, "Bread, sir." He was a beggar boy, and Lucado says, "There are always little beggar boys in the streets of Brazil. Usually I turn away from them because there are so many and you can't feed them all. But there was something compelling about this little boy that I couldn't turn away. So he took his hand. I said, come with me. And I took him into a coffee shop. And he told the owner, I'll have a cup of coffee and I give the boy a piece of pastry, give him whatever he wants. And the coffee counter was at the end of the store. So Max walked on and got a cup of coffee, forgetting the little boy, because he usually, when he did those things, they would run away and things like that. But then he turned around, and then standing right in front of him as he looked down was this little boy. And the boy looked up at him and said, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Lucado said, I was so touched by the boy's thanks that I would have bought him the store. I sat there for 30 minutes late for my class just thinking about a little beggar boy who came back and said, thank you. Brothers and sisters, if a little Brazilian child can make Max Lucado's heart bubble, how much more can we make God's heart jump with joy when we say thank you for all the great things that are in our life? So what does this look like, this superpower? Like it says, we can express gratitude regardless of the situation. And that's what Paul is saying in this great letter. Why can we do this? Because we never see the full picture. We can't understand the situation as we're going through it. But looking back, we can see how it was worked out, how God uses that for good, and so how we can find ways to praise him. There's a story of Corrie ten Boom. I don't know if people have read about Corrie ten Boom, but a strong, amazing woman of the faith during World War II. But if you don't know her background, you should Google her immediately. But she was in Ravensbrück, which was known as one of the worst German concentration camps in World War II. And when Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy found themselves in prison there, they were disgusted that in the barracks it was infested with fleas. And Corrie tells this story that she began to complain, and her sister Betsy insisted that they give thanks instead. She said, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so with some persuading, Corey finally joined her sister in thanking God for these fleas. But later, several months later, the two sisters expressed their surprise that the camp guards had never come back to the barracks to disrupt or prevent their evening Bible studies that they held for the other prisoners. And Corey realized that the very fleas which she had despised actually had been God-sent protection from the cruel guards. So regardless of what's happening, we can thank God for God's presence. God is redeeming the situation and sustaining us through it. Our own focus, we focus on the current situation, but God can see the whole picture. We rise above the situation when we look for what God is doing in the middle of it. It's those moments that we can learn and see how bad experiences can produce good outcomes or can be things that we can turn to God for praise. This superpower carries us through the hard times. We can make Thanksgiving a part of our interactions with other people, and the power of gratitude should impact both our relationship with God and relationship with others. Rick Warren once said, "To appreciate means to raise in value. That's not only true of things, it's true of people. When you appreciate somebody, you literally raise their value. We ought to appreciate people because it increases their self-worth." This is not just this week, but going forward, we need to let us make it a regular practice to say thank you to the people in our life and thank God for the things in our life. Often the people we express gratitude with the least amount in our lives are the people that we're closest to. This is all done as we lean into the strength gratitude provides us. So brothers and sisters, as we go into this holiday week, unlike others in the past, it looks different than it has before. Let's look for chances, for opportunities to flex the superpower for the world to see. The world needs it. And you know, and importantly, we need it. These times are unprecedented, and we need to tap into Thanksgiving even more than we ever have. So let us grow. Let us be joyful in the midst of difficulties that we may find ourselves, focusing in on the good that God has given from above, and give thanks to God as we sung before and as we sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Happy Thanksgiving to you all. And I'm so grateful and thankful for each one of you in this wonderful place.